Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and it's really great to be with you today. Today we're talking about Christmas, because Christmas is not very far away. And in fact, because of what I want to talk about, being proactive about Christmas, I think I've left my recording run a bit late. I'm finding all of this quite ironic. But anyway, there we go. We're talking about Christmas today. It may be too late for this year, what I want to say, but it won't be too late for next year. It's right on time for next year. I'm going to share it anyway, and I hope that it's helpful to you either this year or next year. It is lovely to see the sunshine at the moment. When I went in and met with Scotty, it was raining, and it had been raining and just grey skies for days. It just felt like days of rain and absolutely no sunshine. And so even though it's cooler weather at the moment, the sunshine is beautiful, the days are long, and I'm enjoying it. And I hope that you are too, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, and that you're getting enough sunshine. I tell you what, Australia's just been racked by rain and floods and everything, and I've got absolutely nothing to complain about. Yes, we've had a bit of rain. Yes, we've had some grey skies, but we're not flooded. We're fine. So yeah, my heart goes out to everyone who's been flooded out, you know, for the second or third or fourth time. It's just awful. And yeah, we do all we can to support those people. I talk with Scotty about the Canberra trip again, because we can. And I just need to let you know, I'm not sure that this was true last time my podcast went out, but yes, Rue is now crawling. Major public service announcement. So when they come and stay with us for Christmas, part of our proactive Christmas preparation is going to be baby safing our very not baby safe house. We have bookshelves, we have electronic equipment, we need to put up gates and fences on steps and stairs. Oh, anyway, kitchens. But it's just part of the deal. It's part of the joy of having a baby, and I'm looking forward to it. The other thing I wanted to say before we get started today, before we have a chat to Scotty, is that if you hear any sneezes in the background, it's because Moss has a head cold and he's home. And I'm not used to recording from home when he's here. I usually talk to myself quite happily with nobody else in the house and think nobody can hear me, and then edit all the mistakes out afterwards, as I've told you before. Failure is a real option for me when I'm recording the podcast, and just having someone else in the house is a bit weird. But I have to say, I'm so, so grateful he's here, because I updated my operating system in my computer yesterday. Yesterday I updated the operating system in the computer, and you know, as I was told to by the people who make these computers, and that's all good and exciting and wonderful. But then I went to record and I opened up Audacity, which is what I use to record my podcast, and I hit record and it shut down. And I opened it again and I hit record and it disappeared again. And this was quite scary, but I could just run into the dining room and say, "Moz, Audacity's not opening for me. What do I do?" And he said, "Have you downloaded the latest?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't even think about whether I should download the latest. I just thought it's broken." It was not broken. And now I have downloaded the latest. And as far as I know, as far as I can see in front of me, everything's going well. Everything's happening. So that's pretty exciting. And I'm giving a workshop on podcasting on Monday at the Pilgrim Hill Festival. And that is the Monday before you hear this because of me putting things out at different times. But yes, I'm getting my podcast recording done before I give the workshops. And then I'll put the podcast up after I give the workshops, just so you don't sort of run out and say, "Where can I get a ticket to this workshop?" Which I'm sure you're all desperate to do. In my podcast workshop that I'm giving on Monday, I'm going to be telling them that if things don't work, if you open up Audacity and it closes again, that's easy. You just go to the website and download the latest and install, and it works again. So we're always learning new things, and I'm very grateful to be married to a tech support guy who just happens to be home sick today when I needed him. Right, well, I think it's time after all that for you to have a listen to what I had to say to Scotty about Christmas, and then I'll come back and talk more about Christmas afterwards.
Good morning, this is Ultra 6.5, another life hack with Ruth Amos. Good morning, how you doing?
Good morning, Scotty. Really great, thanks.
That's good. And man, it's been wet, hasn't it? What's going on there? It's just like...
Well, we just were in Canberra, and Canberra was wet, and that just, it feels very strange to have a wet capital. It wasn't wet the whole 4 years I lived there. It is wet now.
It's just nuts. Like, and I've got all this stuff to do around the house outside, and I'm like, I can't even get outside to do anything. And there's like a time frame that I've got to do it within, and I'm just like, It's not happening.
Not happening. Not going to happen.
Yeah. So what's our life hack for today?
Oh, well, I want to think about Christmas today.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have to?
I think it is time. Oh, man. In fact, I think it may be too late to say.
I'm interviewing Colin Buchanan next week because he's coming down for a Christmas concert. And I'm just like, do we have to start thinking about Christmas already?
So I feel a bit like the, you know, the advertisers who are like, you know, oh, I know we haven't had I'll call it All Hallows Eve yet, but let's do Christmas anyway. But the thing is, I'm thinking that when we look at Christmas, we should look at it proactively rather than reactively. And I think for many of us, Christmas is really reactive. Somebody says, I've got a Christmas party. You go, yep, put that on the calendar. I've got this Christmas do. Yep, put it on the calendar. You know, parents want Christmas and in-laws want Christmas and got to buy gifts for all these people. And it's very reactive. Like everything that comes at you, you just react to it. And that can mean that the whole thing is a hodgepodge of stress and disaster. and I think if we can think about it early enough and actually be proactive, think about what do I want my Christmas to look like and how am I going to work towards that this year?
So what about if my Christmas was like a week of seeing nobody? Would that be a possibility? Would they like, I'm just going to go into a quiet room and read, you know, watch some movies,
so the thing about
order
Christmas
in some pizzas.
Is, Scotty, that Christmas usually for many of us, and not for all of us, but for many of us involve other people.
What?
And
who
changing other people's minds takes a long time, a long time. So, you know, you may not be able to make changes that you want this year, but you may be able to drop an idea into someone's mind and say, how about next year we do the really useful gifts from the tier catalogue, or how about next year we do Secret Santa with everybody and sort of cut the stress down that way, or how about we get the grandchildren to do a dessert competition and I'll do the salads and you do the meat so that we spread the load. But, you know, you are changing someone else's picture of Christmas. So you're going to have to think about how long it takes to do that, because it does take a long time.
And multiple years.
Yeah.
And I love we did the Secret Santa thing a few years ago because we were trying to buy for all the cousins and it was just like crazy. And then you wouldn't spend as much because you're like, oh, well, you know, like for all these people.
And everyone gets a $10 junkie gift.
Yeah.
I can't even get a junkie gift for 10 bucks now, but, you know, yeah.
Well, we said, let's each have a Secret Santa. And then so then we can spend, you know, $50 on them rather than a whole bunch of people spending $10, you know. And it's actually worked beautifully because then somebody gets a really nice gift. They don't know who it's from, although our kids always want to tell everyone.
Yeah, I think we end up telling people too. But there's websites you can work through to do that too. I wanted to ask our listeners, because I know last year when we talked about this, we talked about Marianne's gift cupboard. And I wanted to know if anyone this year has put aside gifts in a gift cupboard already.
She's genius. She goes, okay, so this person is, you know, this would be nice for them. And she just pulls it out. And I'm like, done. So she's genius.
She's amazing.
But she's also a little bit cheapskate because what she does is she wakes for everything through the year, comes on half price, and then she grabs them.
No, that's just genius as well, I think. That's genius. So, yeah, so that's my life hack for this week is prepare now. Christmas is coming. Prepare now. And remember, change takes time. It's slow. We can do this over time.
Good advice. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Scotty.
RuthAmos.com.au.
Yeah, so I'm a big one for preparation. Not, let me say, pre-preparation, but just preparation, just being prepared. Somebody asked on Facebook the other day, if you had a job coming up that you knew would take about 36 hours and you had X amount of weeks to get it done, when would you start? And my answer was immediately. And I know that some of this is anxiety driven, and I don't like to be anxiety driven. I like to be just peaceful, but part of being peaceful for me is being prepared. And I guess, as always, I'm talking to people who are like me or who think the same way that I do. But maybe even if you know that you think differently from me, I know that one of my friends, Jill, said that she listens to my podcast and that she thinks very differently from me. And a lot of people who listen, I guess, are in a different situation than I'm in. I am now nearly in my 50s. I have My parents still around on both sides of our family. I'm married, I have two children, and I have a grandchild. And so this is my family situation and how my family does it and how we get together and work. But I think even within the bounds of, I know that my life does not one-to-one apply to your life, and what I do for Christmas does not one-to-one apply to your Christmas. There are still things that we can possibly share, that I can share, that can help you with your Christmas, and things that I've picked up from other people that have helped me. So that's really what I want to do today. So I guess I could start by telling you what we normally do for Christmas. We normally get together with my children, and that'll be the grandchild this year as well, on Christmas Eve. And we have Christmas Eve dinner together, and then on Christmas Day I have lunch with my parents, and then Boxing Day or the day after Boxing Day we go to Moz's family, and that's a big family dinner. That's everybody. That's my parents and his parents and all of the wider family on his side, plus their in-laws, plus whoever else should happen to be pulled in, and we spend the whole day there. We enjoy it immensely. We just relax into it. We have a big meal, and then we eat all leftovers afterwards. And we last year was involved knife throwing at a board. We play pool. We, you know, board games, card games, whatever we feel like doing. It's a very relaxed, gorgeous day. And we also do gifts. And for that day, we do a Secret Santa. And that's been worked out really well. So my daughter got on board of that. I think she found it at her workplace, a website where you can put a list of things that you want to be given. So the person who pulls your name out of the hat doesn't have to just guess wildly at what you might like to have for Christmas. They can see a list of things, and they can at very least get an idea of what would be an appropriate gift. And then we share that. And, you know, the secret doesn't stay secret forever, but that's fun. So that's our Christmas. It takes 4 or 5 days. It's as relaxed as we can make it because, you know me. If you've been listening any time, you know I'm an introvert, and I'm not going to want to spend every minute of every day over any period with people, no matter how much I love them. And so we've got to build some of that downtime in as well. But the thing is, that Christmas that works really well for all of us, that's been worked out over a number of years. And we've tried different things. So one year I thought, well, let's try these gifts, these charity gifts, instead of giving stuff to each other. We were going through, you know, that feeling of we've all got too much stuff, and thought, well, maybe we'll try this. And we did try it, and, you know, it was nice, but it wasn't, there's something special about giving and receiving of gifts, and we didn't feel like that really covered it. So we've tried different bits and pieces, and this is what we've come up with that's worked, but it's also always in a state of flux because people's families change, your family situation changes, your health changes. There's so many different things that can impact this particular family celebration or any family celebration, and being aware of them and being respectful of them and then being able to discuss what we can do to get around that is just, it's just polite and nice. So, yeah, the thing that I was saying to Scotty and that I want to say to you is that this is all very good, but you might have an idea in your head of what you want, what your perfect Christmas would be like, what your perfect family celebration would be, or what your perfect week around that time would be. And as Scotty said, it might just be perfect for you to stay inside, not talk to anybody, and just eat pizza and whatever. And that's great. But the thing about this particular celebration, and all of life really, is that we are in relationship with other people. You have relatives, you have friends, and honestly, there are people out there who are feeling very lonely who would be really great for you to be in relationship with. So your perfect idea of Christmas needs to be tempered by conversation with other people. And that conversation needs to take time, it needs to be low stress, and it needs to be batting around ideas until you can come to a compromise, or a sharing or a generosity that helps everybody make this the best possible family celebration that you can have. And one of the ways to do that is to start now. Not saying I want, I want, I want, but how can we make this celebration beautiful? So what I'm going to do now is talk about just some ideas, some general ideas, just throw some up there. And as always, I'd really love to hear from you any other ideas that you have that might help other people out, and I'll talk about them on my next podcast. So please feel free to write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, and let me know what you do to make your Christmas easier and more joyful and more special. Right, so one of the big ideas that we've had that I was brought up with really is don't try and do everything all on the one day. December 25th is an arbitrary date. We do not have to fit everything into that day. And that came from my family, my childhood growing up, where both of the families on my mum's side and my dad's side were quite large. One's 5 kids, one's 6. And they both wanted to get together for Christmas dinner. And so what they used to do is have Christmas lunch at one. So we'd go to church in the morning, Christmas lunch at one, and Christmas evening meal at the other. And it was too much, especially for young children. And so very early on in my life, and I don't remember when, it was earlier than I remember, we went with church in the morning or church overnight. I love the midnight service. Ugh, it's beautiful. And then Christmas lunch with one family, and then we went to another family for Boxing Day. So already we've spread it over 2 days. Then when I got married, and I was one of the earlier marriages sticking around here in Tasmania, we had to think about how we were going to now incorporate another family. And for a while, Moz's family did Christmas Eve. So then we did Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and so on. And it's morphed over the years, as I've said. At one point, my dad's side of the family decided, well, look, why are we doing this at Christmas time? Let's get together for Christmas at the end of January or the beginning of February, because we get together at a beach house of my uncle's and the water's warmer in February. We can all go swimming. The weather's more likely to be settled. And so we did that for quite a few years as well. So we spread it way, way out. But if the important thing for you about Christmas is getting together with family, you want to be present for them. You want to be able to enjoy their company, and just being there but being completely fruited because you've just spent Christmas lunch with a whole other family and your brain won't turn on and you can't give anyone any energy or help, or alternatively having to take 5 days off afterwards to recover from being with people that much, or you know, whatever these things. Let's think about it and think about options. Now, some people really, really hold very tightly to Christmas lunch. And you might find that one side of your family says, no, it has to be on December 25th and it has to be at lunchtime. And if that's something that they can't change, even after some gentle nudging or gentle conversation, that's fine. Work on the other side of the family or come up with some other boundaries or strategies that you can use to get around it. Okay, so it's not only that December 25th family all packed in those couple of days things. There's also, you know, work dinners and professional institute dinners and friendly get-togethers and that sort of thing. And I think if you're going to deal with that, one of the things that you could do beforehand is to be proactive, is to say, I am going to attend X number of Christmas celebrations, and once I get to X number, my answer is going to be no. Or if you really have to go to this X plus one, then maybe you need to ring up X minus five and say, I'm sorry, I can't come to your Christmas dinner anymore. Something's come up. So that you're not just reacting and saying yes and then trying to squeeze it in and then saying yes to another one and trying to squeeze it in and saying yes to another one and trying to squeeze it in. Think about how many you're going to do and then stick with that number and be careful about that. And the other thing that happens around Christmas time is, which drives all tradespeople crazy, is that that this whole thing of it has to be done by Christmas. Okay, I'm going to put new carpet in the house. It has to be done by Christmas. I'm going to paint the front door, but it has to be done by Christmas. Does it really have to be done by Christmas? Maybe new carpet should happen after Christmas when everyone's gone and there's some chance of keeping the carpet clean for more than 5 minutes. Just think about this. So I know that it's a really nice deadline, but oh boy, do you see it like on grand designs all the time. They're saying, when do you think you'll get in? Oh, we're going to get in by Christmas next year. So don't turn Christmas into that artificial deadline that everything has to happen by. Give your tradies a bit of a break. And I know they take the whole of January off And that's just the way it is. But patience is one of the fruits of the spirit. And maybe we can just be a little bit patient this year, especially as we want all of our tradespeople to be helping all those people who got flooded recently. Right. So what's next? Gifts. Well, I've talked about Secret Santa a bit. Gifts is a big part of Christmas. It's a big part of what we do in our culture. But there are ways to change this so that it's not just all about more and more and more stuff. Oh, that beginning scene in Harry Potter in the first book where his cousin is just like, you gave me 38 gifts this year and you gave me 39 gifts last year. It's not good enough. And Mum says, oh, that's all right. We'll buy you two more when we go out today. Nobody's like that, all right? Nobody's like that. That's a caricature. I get that. But our children, and especially young children, can get that idea if we're not careful. And they can get so excited that they'll just rip the wrapping paper off the gift that they were given and chuck it to the side and go and rip the wrapping paper off the next one. And I don't like that attitude. And so I think the giving and receiving of gifts, if we're going to do it, needs to be meaningful. And one of the things I very much love about Moz's family that we've always done is that when we give gifts out at Christmas time, we give them one at a time and we all watch the person open the gift and see what they've got and rejoice with them. Now, I know that can put a bit of pressure on. I have also a relative who really hates everyone watching them open a gift. And so, you know who you're working with and whatever, but let's make the gifts meaningful. People actually give a lot of their time going and choosing gifts, or sometimes even they give a lot of their time making gifts, and it's really worth respecting that and honouring that, I think, if you're going to be giving gifts. But as I said, like if you're at a point where no stuff, don't want any more stuff, then there's gift catalogues from World Vision, Compassion, Tear, anywhere you can think of where you can give a toilet to a family in need and or a chicken or a well to a village. And all that money that we're just spending on more stuff for ourselves can get used for a really, really helpful purpose and will be really loved and honoured. You know that, even if you don't see it in person, and that's okay as well. So there are options, but again, for somebody else in your family, the giving and receiving of gifts might be just so special to them, might be one of their top love languages. And it's not my top love language, but having said that, I love getting gifts at Christmas time and I really miss it when it doesn't happen. So even though I wouldn't have said giving and receiving of gifts is my love language, it is something that I really enjoy over Christmas. But having said that, when you're thinking about love languages, it's just something to keep in mind when you're thinking about what you're going to give your family this Christmas. Maybe you give your mother-in-law a very small gift and then you help her with the washing up after the Christmas dinner. And because her love language is acts of service, that's going to mean a hell of a lot more to her than the tiny little gift. And it's going to be balance out and be really, really nice. So yeah, be kind, respect each other. Another thing that we've done for our really big Christmas dinner is divide up the food. It really isn't fair for the whole of Christmas dinner to fall on one person's shoulders, no matter how much they say they love it. And some people really do love preparing the food, but I'm sure that even if they do want to prepare the food, they wouldn't mind you peeling the potatoes for them beforehand or washing up the big horrible pan afterwards. Let's spread the load. And some of the ways that we found fun to spread the load is we've had a cheese board competition, who can make the most exciting cheese board. We've had a dessert competition. So all, as I said, the grandchildren get together and make all the desserts and we decide who's the best one. I know a family who's had a meringue competition, so everybody makes a big meringue pavlova, and decorates it, and the decorations get judged. I guess you can make a gingerbread house or whatever you like, that sort of thing. So it makes it fun, but it spreads the load. Also, just, you know, if you're working right up until the end of Christmas Eve and then turning up to Christmas Day, you can offer to bring snacks, because it doesn't take that much effort to pick up a few packets of biscuits and some chips and some cheese. And we all know that cheese is the thing that really makes a Christmas dinner. So you can be the cheese person. You'll be loved, but you don't have to do any of the really hefty preparation yourself. And in all of this, we need to remember that there are people who don't have Christmas as a hectic or family full time. So I had a friend a couple of years ago say to me that she really disliked Christmas because it was the most boring time of the year. And yes, my head nearly fell off. And yes, I've talked about this many times. But, you know, I have family and I'm just so blessed with rich family and family coming to stay with me. And I have church things. So we have the extra church celebration the week before. We have extra services on Christmas Day. We have the midnight service. We have all of that churchy stuff and things that I'm involved with that I'm throwing Christmas parties for. So for me, Christmas is full. And I need to be careful and balance how full it is. But for my friend, Christmas is boring because everything stops. All of the general weekly activities that she does stop. And she's just got nothing for a few days. And there are so many people in that situation. There are so many lonely people around. And for those of us who are so richly blessed like me, yes, richly blessed. Yes, introverted, but yes, richly blessed with friends and family. We need to think about how we can reach out to those people who are lonely and bored over the Christmas period. Can you invite somebody to a Christmas dinner with your family? Or can you invite them to church? They may not go to church any other time of the year, but they might want to go to church with you on Christmas because they're so bored, they've got nothing else to do. So invite them to church. Or invite them to maybe a quiet afternoon tea and a drink on Christmas Day after everybody, almost everybody, has gone so that they can just help chill out with you and enjoy watching the Royal Variety Show or whatever you do to recover after Christmas. It's just something to think about and something I encourage you to do and something I encourage me to do. I'm going to reach out to my friend again this year and ask her if she'd like to come to midnight with us, like we planned to do last year, but then she took her COVID booster the day before and was feeling really unwell. You see, you invite people, they might not turn up. You've done your job. It's good. So, yeah, I encourage you to have a proactive Christmas this year, a Christmas where you put a few boundaries in place, take a little hand in what's going to happen, and think about how you can bless those around you, but how you can also simplify what you're doing and make it something that's peaceful and joyful and a lot of fun. And I really do wish that for you this Christmas, that you have a really blessed, peaceful, joyful, fun Christmas, whoever you spend it with and however you spend it. But as I said, I would love to hear what your strategies are for making Christmas more peaceful and more fun. So please write to me, Ruth at ruthamos.com.au. Find me on Twitter at The Quiet Life Blog or on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author. And I'll talk to you about something not Christmas related next time.